With me, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. As for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler unto all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them, and wounded them, that they could not rise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the rock, be God, the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Did this psalm sound familiar to you? Well, it is almost, not quite, but almost a verbatim quotation from Psalm 18, from beginning to end. The same David that wrote this praise that is recorded for us here in 2 Samuel, chapter 22, is the same David that wrote that psalm there. And they are very similar in text. Perhaps one was written at one time, one written at another time. It is indeed even in the original language, there are only just a couple of very minor differences, certainly no meaning differences between the two places of Scripture. What was the occasion? Let's make sure that we get the occasion. David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Well, this tells us that 2 Samuel is anachronistic. It's not in a temporal order. David was delivered from Saul quite a few chapters back. And now here we have in chapter 22 this praise for being delivered from the hand of Saul. It seems to me that the ancient authors were less chronologically oriented than often we would like to be in our age, and hence would have liked them to be. But be that as it may, this is how the Bible comes to us, and it is up to us in our study of the Scriptures to ascertain what portions are out of order temporally and try to put those things in their temporal order. And I believe that the Lord has given us enough cues and clues and information in Scripture to do that. So we can say here that this is indeed out of order chronologically, which means that the writer, the compiler here of 2 Samuel 22 and the rest of the book had a different thing in mind than a temporal order. Right? What happened in the last chapter? Who was defeated at the end of the last chapter? The giants, remember? The giants, the guys that had spears like weaver's beams. Yeah, those guys. The guys that had six fingers and six toes. The big men, the giants of the world, they were subdued by David. What's the theme? Aren't we ramping up here as we get to the end of 2 Samuel? We're putting the chapter, the capital on the top of David's reign as king, showing the triumph of the Lord. And that's the theme of 2 Samuel here, the reign of David as it reaches its climactic end when he's able to hand off the kingdom to his son Solomon, who will then do what? He will do what David always wanted to do, but the Lord disallowed him from doing, and that is to build the Lord a house, a place of worship. And it will be indeed a magnificent building, something like we have never seen. It was a building of its day, and even in our day is a building something like that which we have never seen. So that's why we have this seemingly out of order. The other thing about Psalm 18 or 2 Samuel 22 that we need to notice here is that it is messianic. It makes it very clear in certain portions that while David is speaking of David and his reign, that's really not ultimately what David is speaking about. You remember Jonathan Edwards. Listen to Jonathan Edwards' comments on a passage just like this one. It is moreover to be observed that David, in the book of Psalms, speaks not as a private person, but as the psalmist of Israel, as the subordinate head of the church of God and leader in their worship and praises. And in many of the Psalms, he speaks in the name of Christ as personating him in these breathings forth of holy affections. And in many others, he speaks in the name of the church. So David speaks in some cases in the Psalter for the church. And in other cases, he speaks, like Edward said, personating Christ. And there are some phrases in this chapter here, 2 Samuel 22, that cannot apply to David. They simply do not apply to David. They are David prophetically speaking of his greater son, which, by the way, is mentioned at the end of chapter 22. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and he showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed. Remember who the seed of David is. The seed of David is first and foremost Christ himself. All right, so that with some introductory comments in 2 Samuel 22. So notice in verses 2 and following, we have David praising God for his wonderful deliverances. He is the rock, the fortress, the deliverer. So David confesses here his puny strength and God's powerful nature and ability to deliver. He says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now let's update the King James language a little bit. It's not, oh, I'll be so saved from mine enemies. That's not what we're, you know, that's how we say it in our day. But David means in this way. Thusly will I be saved from mine enemies. How will I be saved from mine enemies? By calling upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. This is the means to the end of being delivered. So let us not think then that we can be delivered without using the means, and yet let us never trust in the means, but trust in the Lord at all times. David's deliverance and safety is in his union with Christ, and so is also our deliverance and safety. It is in him who has made peace between God and all who call upon him as the Prince of Peace. All right, so the second section then goes down through verse 20. And David shows under strong and poetic figures his deliverance. He cried to the Lord, Lord, I'm in trouble. And then he paints this picture of God rising up like an angry giant with smoke coming out of his nose and beams coming out of his eyes. And how dare you touch my anointed? That's the picture that he paints. It's that kind of poetic allusion that David makes. And this is to stir us up to recognize how much, if I can put it this way, God is for us in Christ. And so this is what God means when he says things like, if you touch him, you touch the apple of my eye. The Lord proclaims his love for his people. One way that he does that is by rising up in this poetic figure, an angry beast in pursuit of those who would dare touch his people. Well, that's one way that God shows his love for us, by protecting us against our enemies. I know we somehow think that we can show love to people by not protecting them. I don't understand that. It's certainly not the way of God. God says he will rise up and protect his people. He recognizes that we need protection. We need his fencing about. We need his commandments to keep us safe. We need the means of grace to keep us close to him, to draw us unto him. And all of these things, in all of them, we are needy, very needy. But God proclaims himself not only able to supply all of our need, but to fill up what he doesn't supply by protecting us from our enemies. And so that's what that second section is about. We're getting short on time, so I'll not take time with a lot of details there. But, you know, just remember how David speaks here. The channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his nostrils. Remember that in the Hebrew, to be mad was all right here in your nose. Right? So that if someone is slow to anger, the literal Hebrew phrase is that they are long of nose. It takes their nose a long time to get sniffed up and uppity and angry, that kind of thing. Okay, so that's what, and so when we see the blast of his nostrils, that's the expression of his anger against those who would harm his people. Okay, that's the kind of God that God reveals himself to be here in this passage. All right, the next section I have is verses 21 through 29. And notice that this deliverance is in accordance with the justice and mercy of God. This is important. And we must remember that God doesn't deliver us in any way that is sacrificial to his mercy, sacrificial to his justice. It is all rolled together, that the salvation of God's people is wrought through the justice of the perfect obedience of Christ Jesus imputed to his people by faith alone. And this is what David means. And this is one of those portions where David is personating Christ most loudly when he says, according to the integrity of my hands, he saved me. Let's remember who we're talking about here. David, King David, adulterer and murderer, and good king too. Okay? So it's not according to his own personal integrity that he's talking about here. Again, he is personating the Lord Jesus Christ, who through his perfection has procured a righteousness that cannot be assailed for the people of God, all those who call upon him by faith. And then we have in verses 30 through 46, we have, again, in very poetic terms, remember in the last section of the last chapter, David's men said, sir, we don't think you need to go out to battle with us anymore. It's getting kind of tough protecting you. You're not the mighty man you used to be. You can't hold your sword up as long as you used to. Okay? And so, but notice what David says here. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I leaped over a wall. Okay, so again, in very poetic terms, David is speaking about the strength that the Lord gives. That is, that spiritual strength that we all must have. So he anticipates God's continued blessing, that he will make his feet like hinds' feet. A hind is an Old English way of saying a deer. We used to go up into the mountains of Southern California, yes, believe it or not, 12,000 foot mountains in Southern California. And there were these mountain roads, you know, maybe you're on your way up to Big Bear or Arrowhead, and you know, the roads are just like you see in the movies with this narrow passage and the cut on the one side of the mountains over there, and you know what's over there, right? And so you're driving up, and right in front of you, here comes a deer. Up the side, this sheer cliff, here comes up. Looks at you on the road for a minute. Oh, I can't stay here. Up he goes to the side. Straight up. Hinds feet. That's what hinds feet do. They make you run on the high places without slipping. That's what David's talking about here. He makes my feet like hinds feet, that my feet do not slip. And of course, the foot slipping in Scripture is metaphorical for what? Apostasy. That's right. It's metaphorical for apostasy. And so David is saying, not only does my Lord make my way, he keeps my way. That's the point that David's making here. And then here we have those special messianic statements where David says, I am the head of the heathen. A people who have not known me shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Well, that happened in prophetic form in David. There were Gentiles that came in. We saw when he was fleeing from Absalom, who came to his side? The Gittite, right? And 600 men of Gath joined David when he was on the way out of Jerusalem. And they submitted themselves unto him, a people that he had not yet known. Right? A people that he had not known. They came under the auspices of David, king of Israel. But under the auspices of a greater David, David's greater son, the seed of David, Christ himself, what? The whole world will be subdued. And so these statements here are meant to be understood messianic, in a messianic sense. All right, well then, the psalm then closes extolling the virtues of God being being a rock, the rock of my salvation, God's protection, His vengeance on behalf of His people, his conquering over their enemies. And then finally, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praise unto thy name. And these verses are put in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ by the author in Hebrews. All right, thus ends the reading then of 2 Samuel 22. I almost